working on my sermon last night. I'm always working on it till the last minute. And it doesn't always come easily. And I was talking with someone about it, and she said she knew this minister who used to work on his sermons up to the last minute, and that he had some assistants. And that when it would come to be Sunday morning, sometimes he actually didn't have a sermon. And he would turn to one of his assistants and said, "Sorry, it didn't come today." And turn the service over to them. I actually do have a sermon. But I'm not sure if I can speak. But I know how patient you all are with me. So I'll be patient too. And I think probably in a few moments, I'll get my voice again. My message begins actually with the second scripture reading. When he was at table, he took bread. And he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. Jesus, whom they had known and loved, was alive. They had watched him die, but now they see he is alive. This was almost 2,000 years ago, and Jesus is as alive and present now as he was on that day with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And he is still blinking in and out of our sight. Central to the teachings of Christianity that the death of the physical body is not the death of our being, that who we are continues to live even after what we've carried around with us all these years is left behind. Let ourselves know this truth of ongoing life, then we are opening our eyes like the disciples were on the road to Emmaus. My memory is lasting about 30 seconds. We are here on this earth to explore life, to enjoy life, to share life, to learn, to relate, to understand, to discover, to create, to love. We're here for all of those things. And we are also here to become. To become. We are a work in progress. And this work continues throughout our lives. And when we leave this earth and enter the next realm of dimension, the spiritual world, we in large part take with us who we have become. Now, this becoming can happen all on its own without our even thinking about it. The becoming I'm speaking of is the becoming in terms of values, what we hold as dear, what we care most about. There's a lot of things in this life we don't have a lot of choice about. The life we're born into, the family, the time and history and place. But it's extraordinarily central to the teachings of Swedenborgianism that we do have a great deal of choice in terms of the qualities that we embrace, and that we recognize, and that we become. Now again, these qualities are going to come into our being, whether we pay attention to them or not. But what distinguishes the spiritual path across all religions is that we consciously choose what values we seek to embrace and then to become one with on this path of life. Do you know what values I'm talking about? Examples? Can you give me examples?
Compassion.
What's that?
Honesty.
Loyalty.
Being your brother's keeper.
Courage. Patience. Kindness.
Humility.
Forgiveness.
Charity.
Gratitude.
Yes.
These are the qualities. Any or all and more. These qualities are qualities that all share one thing in common, and that is that they're qualities of goodness. And qualities of goodness are qualities of God. This is the Easter season. The Easter season lasts for 7 weeks, and it ends on Pentecost, which this year will be May 11th. I invite you, during this season of Easter, this season of spring, to choose one quality, either one that you heard mentioned today, or spend some days thinking about it, or maybe one just pops into your mind right now. But choose one quality that you want to cultivate, you want to plant into your being, and that you want to nourish and water and let grow. Throughout this Easter season, and really throughout the days and weeks and months and years to come, by walking a spiritual path, by choosing values that we want to become, we are changing the lens that we look through. And you know what? Life is still going to be life, with as many difficulties and bumps along the way as ever. But we'll be looking through a different lens, and through that we'll be glimpsing a higher and truer and deeper reality, the reality of God. I want to share two stories now about glimpses. One happened right here in this sanctuary, and one happened on Corona Heights above the Castro. One in this sanctuary was a few years ago when a woman came from England for the baptism of her granddaughter. Her daughter lived here in San Francisco. She came and she was actually sitting, I think, Lana, where you're sitting, right around the middle of that row. And she was thinking very much not only of her daughter and first grandchild, but also of her husband, who had died that year after more than 40 years of marriage. She was thinking of him, and just then, as sometimes happens, sunlight came in through the window and glistened. In that moment, she felt her husband here with her, and with her at this very most special time, the baptism of their grandchild. She told me about it afterwards, and she marveled how he had come all the way from England. She could have not seen the sunlight. She could have seen the sunlight, but not recognized her husband's presence. But she saw both, and there was such a love in her eyes as she told me about it. Second story I want to tell you about is one that I heard and read from Jeff Woods, who is a Catholic writer. And in his books, he often mentions his son, Philip, who was the most dear and precious child and grew into adolescence and did not successfully navigate his way through adolescence. He became lost in alcohol and drugs and did not survive past his early 20s. Jeff tells of how he and his wife, every year on the anniversary of their son Philip's death, they climb Corona Heights above DuBois Street, where Philip lived, where he died. They also climbed this particular hill because Philip had said that it was his favorite place of retreat. There are steps carved into the steep hillside, into the dirt, and with, I think, railroad ties to help one's ascent. And Jeff and his wife were just beginning to walk up those steps when his wife said, "Look, butterfly." Jeff looks, doesn't see a thing. And his wife says, "It's closed its wings." And they look very carefully on the step right in front of them, and they see nothing. It's totally camouflaged at this point. And his wife says, "Be patient." And they wait. And then it happens. The opening of the wings. Orange, black, white, red, monarch butterfly. And it flies up to the next step. And it closes its wings and it becomes invisible again. Opens its wings, flies up to the next step, closes its wings again. I don't know how many steps it took for Jeff and his wife to get it, but this is, they got it, and I'm gonna read for you what Jeff wrote about it. The butterfly repeated this ritual for several steps upward until we got the message. And Jeff said, "The butterfly is telling us that Phil is here. We can't see him, but he's here. And if he were to open his wings, we'd see him
in all his splendor. And so we continued our ascent, sensing that Phil was with us all the way, camouflaged by death, but still present with transcendent beauty.